Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Over the past decade, St. Baldrick's Day has become a major fundraising event for pediatric cancer research. It all began in 1999 when a group of insurance executives in Manhattan shaved their heads in solidarity with young cancer patients. The majority of participants in the event are males, but a few women join them. And in Sitka last Friday, one teenage girl decided to take the plunge, raising nearly $3,000 in the process. KCAW's Ann Bryce has her story.
My name is Celia Lubin, and I'm 15 years old, and I go to Sitka High School.
Lubin looks like a lot of teenagers.
My hair is purpley, browny, blondy, and it's braids. Yeah.
She does a bunch of activities like swimming, soccer, drama and debate, concert band, and she has her own radio show. But she's doing something that very few teenage girls would do.
I am shaving my head for St. Baldrick's. People who do chemo, when they lose their hair, it can be kind of isolating, I think. And so showing them support not only with money and, hey, I'm raising awareness for this cause, you're also saying, I'm going to stand there with you.
At the St. Baldrick's event at the Sitka Elks Lodge, men and boys are sitting in barber chairs on stage while local hairstylists shave their heads. A little boy is walking around collecting pledges and stuffing them into an envelope. There are about 100 people sitting at the tables and eating dinner. 8 people are signed up to have their heads shaved, but many others hop onto stage spontaneously to get their hair buzzed. Lubin's mom, Lisa Bush, says she was skeptical about her daughter's decision at first.
I thought, really? Do you have to shave your head? Can we pay you not to shave your head?
But now?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm feeling really excited for Celia, just like proud of her for doing this and wondering what she's going to look like bald.
They didn't really have a lot of say to it, because if they did object, I was just like, hey, not doing drugs, I'm raising money for cancer.
When you were 15 years old, would have shaved your head. Anybody here?
I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm really excited.
What's your name? Celia and Casey.
Hi.
I shaved my head last year.
I'm not sure if it's
awesome.
Yet.
You're going to love it.
All right, Sam.
Ready?
Because she recently dyed her hair with streaks of purple, her scalp has some colorful spots on it.
Yeah, I figured that would happen.
This is what raising money for cancer is all about. Shaving your head, raising the dollar.
It looks great. It looks so good. I'm so proud of her.
She's got a nice shape.
I'm a lucky papa. I'm a lucky papa. Yep.
Feels so good. Never
another
felt anything like this before.
Lubin raised nearly $3,000 in pledges. By the end of the night, 18 people in Sitka had their head shaved and made more than $14,000. Since 2004, the national organization has contributed more than $100 million to fight pediatric cancers. Lubin does not see her participation as just a stunt.
I know that I had a cancer-free childhood, and it was really great, and I just think it would be really scary for kids my age and younger to have to go through something like life-threatening illness like cancer, and I want to be able to help a little bit.
And she says she's not worried about her lost locks.
I mean, it will grow back. It is hair. It's just hair.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
A high-profile advocate for education reform speaks in Sitka this afternoon. Pasi Sahlberg is a professor of education in Finland, as well as an author and lecturer. His book, Finnish Lessons, discusses Finland's education system consistently ranked among the best in the world. Sahlberg says the United States and Finland can learn from each other. Much of his country's educational system is patterned after the United States, but there are also things Finland does that could make a difference here. KCAW's Ed Ronco interviewed Sahlberg over the weekend.
What I try to do is to help people understand that although Finland is a small nation, we are 6 million people, and the United States is 300 plus million citizens, that we can still learn from one another. And we can still ask these questions of why do you do things so differently in Finland than you do here? and those other things. I try to communicate tomorrow. I also try to bring some hope. I see that there are many people here in Sitka and in the United States who are beginning to, you know, lose their hope with the education reforms coming one after another, and in many cases, people say that things are only getting worse. So I try to help people to understand that there is another way to reform your school system.
I looked at your website before I came, and two things stuck out at me. One was you mentioned that the United States and Finland not only have different educational systems, but perhaps even different mindsets about what an education means.
Sure. Yeah, I think. I think we think very differently about education. I think in Finland we view children's education much more in a kind of a broader way. We speak about whole child approach, which means that we give equal importance to arts and music and physical education than we give to math and science and reading. And here in America, I often see that the, you know, I've seen schools here where they don't teach these things anymore. That you don't have, kids don't have music, kids don't have physical education, because all the time is spent on, you know, training people to do math, science, and reading. So I think in this way we are very different. I think we're also very different in terms of, you know, allowing children to play, you know, do informal things that they like to do. We start schooling at the age of 7, and the first 2 or 3 years in our school system is very much built on play and informal, kind of a friendly type of thing, whereas in the United States I see that the kids are beginning to do earlier and earlier these academic things are then tested and measured, and we are not doing those things at all. So there are many differences between our two school systems.
Who should come to your talk tomorrow? Who's it pitched at? Who's it aimed at?
Well, anybody who is interested in education, or anybody who is interested in internal education, anybody who is interested in being surprised and confused tomorrow, welcome, because what I'm going to say is something that people normally don't know and don't expect. But particularly teachers, those who are working in your public schools and the classrooms, who feel that they need to you know, hear about alternative ways if they think that, you know, these things are not really working, or they would like to have something else. I'm sure that tomorrow we will have something, some ideas that will be helpful for people. And tomorrow will be conversation also. I want to learn from teachers and parents and educators here as well.
Finnish educator expert Pasi Sahlberg speaks at 3:30 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center attached to Sitka High School. He stopped in Sitka after speaking at a conference in Anchorage, and the reason for his visit is interesting in and of itself. Sahlberg's great-great-grandfather lived and worked in Sitka in 1840 and 1841. Sahlberg and his cousin, Juha Ignatius, are the first of the family to return here. During a ceremony Sunday, they read from their great-great-grandfather's diary and presented the city with a handmade brass bell in commemoration of the journey. You can hear more about that on our website, kcaw.org. It's been nearly a year since 24-year-old Jonathan Christ Tompkins decided to run for state representative. The Sitka Democrat went up against Haines Republican Bill Thomas. It was a close race. Finally, nearly a month after Election Day, Christ Tompkins walked away with the official win, with only weeks to get ready for his first legislative session as representative for District 34. With the session now ended, the freshman representative sat down with KHNS Margaret Friedenhauser to reflect on the learning curve of a new legislator and what the Democrat thinks he was able to accomplish for his district.
Most Democrats don't have a lot of positive things to say about this year's session. Christ Tompkins doesn't mince words either when he describes his reflection of his first foray into elected office in the Alaska legislature.
I'm sobered by considering the future of Alaska after some of the bills that passed this year.
Like most Democrats, Christ Tompkins points to the passage of the oil tax bill for his grim assessment of the session. Trying to defeat the oil tax was one of the representative's key issues during his campaign, as was increasing education funding. But on the upside, he doesn't see this session as a nail in the coffin of either issue.
I still feel there's a lot of inertia in a broader sense for both of those issues. For oil taxes, we have the citizens' referendum now that I suspect will easily gather the necessary signatures in the next, 2.5 months and end up on the ballot in 2014. And I mean, I think having an effective voice speaking to what a terrible idea this is, you know, helps further that and ultimately will make sure that we don't lose these billions and billions of dollars.
When Christ Tompkins arrived in Juneau in January, he says it was a rush to orient himself to his new job between unpacking, getting an office up and running, and learning the ropes of the legislature. He didn't pre-file any bills, but went into the session with the strategy of just building relationships. And he thinks that was his biggest accomplishment in those 90 days.
My number one goal in session was to build really positive, healthy working relationships with every other legislator. And I think it's fair to say right now I get along well with literally everybody in the building, all the other legislators. And it's just like you don't take politics personally. You treat people with respect and you treat them with consideration. And, you know, the world will get on.
Christ Tompkins said eventually he and his staff began wading into specific issues. He sponsored a bill for stiffer punishments for hazing in schools. He also joined the Bush Caucus, a coalition of rural legislators who together fought the passage of the school voucher and voter ID bills. He says the group addressed other rural priorities like the troll bycatch problem and concerns with the Marine Fisheries Observer Program for longliners. Still, 90 days goes fast, and the speed of the session surprised Christ Tompkins. He says the days seemed harried, not only because of the short session, but also because there wasn't a balance of power with a bipartisan Senate coalition this year.
You had this give and take, a check and balance. This year, that doesn't exist. There's a lot of ideological homogeneity in the governor's office, in the leadership of the House, the leadership of the Senate. And if there's agreement between all three, which is pretty easy to arrive at, you know, things rifle right through the legislature and become law.
Now,
and that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online, kcaw.org.